Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Well, if you're anything like me, life can be like a series of opportunities that might be known as a proving ground. A proving ground is simply a place where something is developed, tested, and tried. And there are a lot of life areas where we're grateful for proving grounds. And any manufacturer that puts out a product has to put that product through a series of tests to prove reliability and dependability and functionality. And we're grateful for a lot of these. For example, when we board an airplane to take a flight, we're grateful that that plane has been put through a series of tests to prove the function, reliability, and dependability, and probably safety of that aircraft. We're also probably incredibly grateful that the pilot that is flying the plane has gone through a series of tests to prove his ability, his functionality, reliability, and dependability to fly that plane. There are areas of life for which we are incredibly grateful for the proving ground, the place where something is developed, tried out, and tested. But there are other areas where we aren't so grateful for proving ground opportunities. Areas like when our resolve is tested, where our patience is tested, where our maybe even what we believe is tested. We tend to not enjoy those proving ground opportunities as we are grateful for the proving grounds of the products and those kind of things in areas of life. Life is a proving ground of opportunities. There are times where we are offended by someone and we have to choose whether or not we're going to live an offended life or take that offense as an opportunity to make that relationship stronger, if at all possible. There are circumstances in which life doesn't work out like we think it should, and life serves as a proving ground to determine what we believe about God. The proving ground is always an opportunity to determine who we are and who we are becoming. The proving ground always influences the direction and the quality of life and can sometimes even close the gap from where we are to the potential of where we want to be. The proving ground is often something that comes in the form of a test. And unlike a lot of tests that we undergo, the proving ground tests often aren't announced or scheduled. They just happen. They just come up along the journey and in the path of life. For example, we take IQ tests, and we take blood tests, and we take eye tests, and we take school tests. And all of those are predicated on performance. For example, a school test. When we took a test, most of the time we knew when the test was coming, so we had the opportunity to study in advance and to learn the information that we needed to learn to be able to pass what was going to be on the test. If we answered enough questions right, we passed the test. And if we pass enough tests, we got to pass that grade. And if we passed that grade, we eventually got a diploma or a degree. If we didn't answer enough questions right, it was a completely different story. When it comes to life, and when it comes to relationship with God, the analogy of the school test and the IQ test and the blood test and those kind of things breaks down because they're all predicated on performance. But relationship with God, though the decisions we make are incredibly important, relationship with God is not predicated on performance. relationship with God is predicated on love and grace and mercy and what God has done for us in Jesus that we could never do for ourselves. If your life is anything like mine, you will encounter proving ground opportunities and you will experience tests along the way of life. Every test has at least one question that's waiting to be answered. Sometimes it's a series of questions, like on a school test. Sometimes it's a question in life about what we're going to believe, about what type of person we're going to become, how we're going to respond in a specific situation or circumstance. And in those moments, we have the opportunity to prove who we are and who we are becoming. In an encounter that Jesus had with his closest followers, and actually a large group of people, he posed a great question. That is a great question that's worth many of us asking in life. So, let's get into the storyline that's recorded by one of Jesus' closest followers, a guy by the name of John, who was an eyewitness to what took place, and he wrote his account. But let's get into the storyline to get to the question to see what we can learn about our own proving ground opportunities. So let's pick up the story. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him. Now, in this particular instance, Jesus had just left an area around the Sea of Galilee, because what he was doing there had garnered so much attention. He was doing some pretty cool stuff, like helping the blind see, helping the lame walk, helping the deaf hear, healing people of diseases. He was doing some incredibly cool things. And in Jesus' day, the people who did incredibly cool things like that tended to gather a crowd. Well, the crowd that had gathered around Jesus was so large that he crossed the Sea of Galilee to escape the crowd. But word got out that Jesus was there, and a large crowd gathered around him. And not only did Jesus actually do some of the cool stuff, but he also taught a countercultural message about what it means to be in right relationship with God. And so Jesus has been doing some pretty cool stuff. He's teaching this crowd, and he looks around, and he sees this great crowd around him. The crowd that's gathered there is probably about 5,000 men plus women and children. So this is a sizable group of people. And all of a sudden, Jesus looks around, and one of his followers, Philip, notices the crowd, and he turns to Jesus, and he asks a question of his own. He said, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Now, a crowd of that size would have required a lot of bread, and somebody had to provide for it. And let me back up, because I actually misspoke when I said Philip asked the question of his own. It was actually Jesus that asked that question. He asked that question of his follower Philip. He turned to him and said, Where are we going to buy food for all these people to eat?" And so it was Jesus that actually asked the question. The bread that's needed is so enormous. It's overwhelming. Sometimes, like the experiences we have in life, can be overwhelming. But Jesus doesn't really ask this question about bread. He asks it to dig a little bit deeper into Philip's heart and into Philip's life. He asks it not because he doesn't know the question. He already knows what he plans to do. He already knows how this situation is going to play out. But John tells us why Jesus asked this question. He says he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Another translation uses the word prove instead of test. He asked Philip this question to prove what Philip believed about Jesus. And one of the interesting things about this is that this question isn't announced to Philip. Philip doesn't know the question's coming. The crowd gathers. The people are hungry. They need food. And Jesus takes this moment in life, in Philip's life, as an opportunity, as a proving ground opportunity to test who Philip is becoming and what Philip believes. And Philip's response is one that reveals the condition of his heart, reveals the condition of what he believes, but also serves as an opportunity to Philip to grow and to move beyond where he currently is to where Jesus desires him to be. And here's how Philip responds. It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. It would have taken about 200 days' wages of the common worker to buy enough bread for people to even have one bite of food. Though some of the fishermen in Jesus' group, because some of those who followed Jesus were fishermen, they might have earned the money a little quicker. But the biblical narrative tells us that whether they were fishermen or they were tax collectors or whatever other thing that they did, almost every one of followers of Jesus left everything to follow him. The amount of money required to buy food, which is the question Jesus asked, where shall we buy food, would have far exceeded the amount of money in the group of Jesus' followers' bank account. And Philip knew it. And it wasn't just Philip that was bothered by the crowd and the need to buy food. In Matthew's account, who was another one of Jesus' followers, in his account of the same story, he says that all of Jesus' followers begin to question and begin to suggest that they send the people home or send them to a nearby village. Let them go get food because there's no way that we can provide food for everyone. It's just logistically and realistically impossible. And so send them somewhere else to get food, and then they can come back. But this isn't our responsibility. Let's leave it up to them. Matthew tells us it was all of Jesus' followers. But in John's account, it's a little bit more personal for Philip. And things get really, really interesting when another one of his followers, a guy by the name of Andrew, speaks up. And here's what Andrew says. He goes, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Now, one of the details that I would love to have, or one of the pieces of more information that I would love to have in this part of the story, is what prompted Andrew to look around and see what was available? What prompted Andrew to say, maybe it's possible, maybe we can gather enough to feed everybody? Maybe what Andrew looked around and saw was whatever was there, Jesus could use to do something more than maybe they could even imagine. And another thing that's incredibly interesting is what he finds is nothing special. Fish and bread were very common food staples of the day. And so what the boy has is probably his own lunch, just a small lunch for himself that day. But what he has is a small amount, and what he has is something ordinary. And maybe Andrew thinks that Jesus can take a small amount of ordinary and do something amazingly extraordinary with it. And for people like us, sometimes we think that what we have is just a small amount, that it will not go far among so many needs. It won't really make a difference in such a large set of people's needs. But what if we shifted our thought to ask some great questions? Questions like, what can we do with whatever we have? And maybe even a better question to ask is, what can Jesus do with what we have? Maybe Jesus can take what we think is a small amount and make a big impact. Maybe Jesus can take what we think is ordinary and do something extraordinary. Because that's exactly what he does in this story. It says Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. Now notice, when Jesus gathers what's available, what's been provided, what's been given to him to use, notice that he doesn't lament that there's a small amount. Notice that he doesn't complain that there's not going to be enough. What Jesus does is he looks at what's there and sees the potential of what he can do with what's there. It's this question. What will we do with what we have? And it's the even better question, what will Jesus do with what we have? And these are amazing questions, because Jesus doesn't lament how much is there. He just gives thanks for what's there. He gives thanks for what's been provided. And then he begins to break the bread. And every time he broke the bread, there was more. And every time he tore the fish, there was more. And in fact, there was so much that not only did everybody get a bite, but the story tells us that everybody got as much as they wanted. Everybody ate their fill, because Jesus was able to take something small and ordinary and do something amazingly extraordinary with it. Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and fish, or 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish, whatever it is. He took 7 food items. And he fed a group of 5,000 men plus women and children. And he asked Philip the question as a proving ground opportunity, a test to move Peter from where he was to where Jesus wanted him to be. And maybe, just maybe, for people like us, when we go through the proving ground opportunities, maybe Jesus can do more than we might imagine. And the story continues. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." In the first century culture, it was actually considered sinful to waste what has been provided. It was considered sinful to not have use for the things that were left over. It was considered wasteful and sinful. And so Jesus says, gather up what's left over, which is interesting. Because 5,000 men plus women and children, a small amount of bread and fish, and Jesus tore and made more. And not only did people get what they wanted, they got more than a bite, they got as much as they wanted. And then it tells us that there were leftovers. So maybe, just maybe, the proving ground does indeed close the gap from where we are to the potential of where we want to be, and maybe even where God wants us to be. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. It was common in the first century culture to have leftovers. It was a sign that the host had sufficiently provided not just what was needed, but even more. And so, whatever we've been given by God, when we don't put it to use, we waste what God has given us. And God has given us abundantly more than we might think or we might imagine. Whatever we consider small and ordinary, God can use to make amazingly extraordinary. And Jesus had them, they gathered up 12 basketfuls of bread left over. And each of us has a residual. Sometimes, even when we feel like we have nothing left in the tank, there are still things that God is giving us and God has given us, and we can put to use because of God's love, grace, and mercy extended to us. So, very commonly, we'll close out a message with 3 questions. To get the conversation started or to keep the conversation going. But today, we're going to end with two questions. And these are deeply personal questions for people like you and people like me. So we're going to close with these two questions, and certainly you can use them to get the conversation started with others, even though they're deeply personal. But the questions are, what will we do with what we have? Each of us has something. God has given each and every one of us something. And if we don't put that to use, we can consider it wasted. The second question is, what will Jesus do with what we have? Maybe we consider it small and ordinary, but what will Jesus do with what we have when we entrust it to Him as it's been entrusted to us? It would be a shame. It would be a shame for any of us to waste what God has given us. Let me pray as we wrap up this time together. Dear God, thank you. thank you for the proving ground. Even the proving ground opportunities that we don't want to be grateful for. Even the proving ground opportunities that we wish would pass by us. Thank you for giving each of us something. And help each and every one of us put to use what you've given us. And to entrust you to do far more with it than we might even think or imagine or dream possible. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for choosing to connect with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. Whether it's your first time in a long time, or you've been with us every time for a long time, we're grateful that you chose to spend it with us, and we hope that it helped you take a step in your relationship with God and following Jesus. I hope that you'll connect with us again next time. Have a great week.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.